This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You've got me, Kevin Hagland. You have the famous Alec Medford. But Alec, neither one of us matter today. Because the return of the prodigal son, Corey Majors, is back with a KNC masterpiece.
Where's Mike?
He said he does not want to spend time with you.
That makes sense.
So
after everything we've been through together.
Yeah. So he said, I'm out.
All right. Well, it was a good run, Mike. Do well with the Rangers. I wish you the best. Is that how that works? Are we done?
He'll be back on Monday. We'll all be on the same airplane on Sunday.
What the crap?
So I feel like you've had a really long time to process that.
I have to get on an airplane?
You do. Man, I can't believe you're here today, quite frankly.
What's
your deal?
I tell people this all the time. And I definitely got an email from a friend over the weekend who he was waiting on. Eric Nadel and Brad Sham and Chuck Cooperstein the other day.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, by the way, I was waiting on them and I told them that I went to high school with you and they think you're a great guy and everything. I was like, oh, I appreciate that, man. And he was like, you're living the dream, dude. You get to talk with your friends about sports all day long. And like, I don't take this job for granted at all.
Sure.
This is something that we, Kevin, we worked really hard at, but this was a dream.
Yeah.
This was the dream to pursue and go do. So I love coming into work every day and I really did miss work this week. Obviously the sick part was tough, but this is job lottery. And so you don't want to take any time for granted. I know Tony Romo used to say that about the NFL. He would say, look, you only have 16 games a year.
Yeah.
And I know now they have 17, but at that time they only had 16, but he was like, that's it. If you don't make playoffs, you don't have any more than that. I want to be out there every chance I get. And so I probably shouldn't be here today. Adrian was very against it, and now she and Lucy are sick. But
oh, no.
But I'm here for right now, and we'll see how long it lasts. And if I keel over in the middle of it, it was a good run.
Well, Carter, Alec. You guys better be
Here's
ready.
Your chance, boys.
Wow. I guess Alex already ready.
I'm always ready.
From the 806, this was my favorite theory of yesterday, and I want to bring it up to you, Corey. Corey, you were smart to extend your illness one day as to not be obvious about your hate of Mike. That's a good point, because if you came back yesterday,
we'll
look very suspicious. So Mike decided that you were not here because you didn't like him.
Okay.
And that you would show back up on Thursday. And in my head, I did think, that looks pretty bad. Like if you just show up so I think you were smart to say you were quote unquote sick yesterday as well as to not make it so obvious that you were away from Mike.
I really wish I was that smart to think that far ahead and think that way, but I'm not that diabolical, if you will. So that's not the way that I think.
I would be that diabolical.
But again, somebody that diabolical would also say they're not that diabolical. So,
oh,
my brain hurts.
Yeah, I learned a lot from Jerry Jones. So,
you didn't learn from Jerry Jones how to effectively manage your salary cap, because Man, oh man, Zach Martin has retired. And Zach Martin is, he's awesome. And I want to talk about the amazing career of Zach Martin. And then, and only then, if we have time, we'll talk about how screwed the Cowboys are on the salary cap. All right, let's start by talking about Zach Martin. And this all boils it down. Warren Sharp sent this tweet out. Zach Martin had 6,659 pass protection snaps in his 11-year career. He had zero accepted holding penalties in pass protection. Zero holding penalties.
Hold on, but he had seven in his career.
Those were on run plays.
Yeah, so what kind of run defender or blocker was he, you know?
I mean, you know what? If you get a holding penalty for every time you make first-team All-Pro, I accept.
You accept? All right.
I what absolutely
is the
accept.
What is the average holding for all guards? Like, is that a typical thing, or is this like, this is really...
Yeah.
I think it's impressive as hell.
I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say it's more than once a year.
And when you go, if you go back, like, there are plenty of nine-minute videos on all of his snaps out there, like, where he's just dominant. And that's why. They're that long, because it's just consistently over and over and over him being a dominant person. And you almost, I know I just said this, you almost take it for granted. You almost took it for granted because it was just like, I don't have to worry about it, so it must not be that big of a problem. But he's sitting there taking care of some of your biggest problems.
Think about this. He played in the NFL for 11 seasons, I do believe. He was All-Pro nine times. Nine times. Seven times first team, two times second team. This last year he was hurt. And
his rookie year, was he not an All-Pro?
No, he was. It was 2020, and then this year that he didn't make All-Pro.
Now, that's amazing.
It absolutely is. He's on the all-decade team. And if you look at the Dallas Cowboys have had some of the greatest players of all time. Now, I realize they've had an all-time run of no success, but one of the greatest runs of all time. So, Martin also made the Pro Bowl nine times, which is behind only Bob Lilly, Larry Allen, Mel Renfro, and Jason Witten.
Oh.
In terms of most Pro Bowl selections. And those first three are Hall of Famers, and Jason Witten will make the Hall of Fame.
Allegedly.
Okay, that's fair. But
we see this Darren Woodson situation, so.
That's a good point. I'm not here to be able to explain any of that away. The only player with more first-team All-Pro selections since Zach Martin came into the NFL. Can you guess? There's one.
J.J. Watt.
Nope.
Better. Okay, better than T.J. Watt.
Better.
Okay.
Go ahead. Wouldn't you say J.J. Watt's better than...
Miles Garrett.
Better.
Wow, better than Miles Garrett.
It's an all-time great player.
Quarterback?
Nope, defensive player.
Defensive all-time, like, in that's playing right now still?
Just retired.
Who is it, Alec? Throw it out there for me.
I have no clue.
It's Aaron Donald!
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Aaron Donald
drafted in the same year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we could have had him.
You know, it seemed like it worked out.
We could have traded. We remember the phones wouldn't work. Steven was slamming the phone. He was like, what's going on?
So Aaron Donald was one of the greatest defensive players of all time. He was first team All-Pro eight times.
Yeah.
Zach Martin, he's first team All-Pro seven times. So what does that say about him? And then, like we said, he had one holding penalty per time he made first team All-Pro. So seven holding penalties in the history of his career that were accepted versus seven first-team All-Pros. Simply an unbelievable career.
Dude, and we got to watch them fight each other at training camp.
Yes.
Like, we got to watch them battle each other, and that was so much fun.
Absolutely. And somebody asked, is Zach Martin the greatest offensive lineman of all time? So this is a tricky question, and
he's in your top five.
And I'm inclined to think it's actually another Cowboy. I'll admit, I might be biased on
Larry
this.
Larry Allen.
But yeah, Larry Allen struck terror in, and I was rooting for him, and he still struck terror in me. And so I think Zach Martin is definitely in that conversation. If he is not a first ballot Hall of Famer, the system is absolutely broken, and this is going to be tough. I hope it makes sense. Darren Woodson should be in the Hall of Fame. Jason Witten should be in the Hall of Fame. Zach Martin is better than both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think it would be awesome if those two went in, like Aaron Donald and him went together, because, again, drafted the same year. I know they retired in different years, but
so it feels unlikely because they'll both get in.
Yeah,
first.
But being trench guys like they were, it would be kind of a nod to what that era and what that is. I like this from the 903. It is bizarre to think that Johnny Manziel could have been an 11-year pro. All pro. You know, like that. If we would have drafted him instead.
Sexy pick.
Yeah, it would have been a very sexy pick.
Didn't he not even make it through like the fan controlled football league? So
he might still be playing football though, and Zach Martin's retired. So I'm just saying.
I wonder if he does play like flag football or something.
I know he was playing something, or he played a game or something maybe a year or two ago, and that was about it. But maybe he gets out there and plays some flag football, but I think we did the right thing with that one. It wasn't sexy or anything like that, but I think they crushed it. And about that time, Kevin, wasn't that where it kind of started? Where you were like, oh man, they're hitting pick after pick after pick with a lot of those spaces, because that's when Will McClay really like honed in on what he was doing.
Absolutely. And I hope this actually happened from the 469. I got to talk to Zach Martin this morning and congratulate him on his career and thank him for all he's done. It was a dream come true. Zach Martin is an all-time great football player. He is a no-brainer, first ballot Hall of Famer, and an all-time great Cowboy.
And we got to, you know, we talked The Wire with him. He was a blast to interview.
Yes.
He talked about his
speed. The Sopranos, right?
Yeah. Now, the other thing, Kevin, I heard Nick Eatman this morning on with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton's show, and he said that everybody was shaking his hand after the last game. All the media members were shaking his hand, and he looked at Nick and he went to shake his hand, and Nick said, no, like, you are not retiring yet, right? And he was like, I don't know. And he goes, then I'll shake your hand when you do. Oh. And he said, so I owe him a handshake.
In your face, Zach Martin.
It sounded like Nick was getting ready to like tear up.
Yeah.
Like just thinking about some of these guys, for most of the people that have covered him, doesn't it feel like we're all sitting here going, this is just another all-time great that missed out on an opportunity to play at the highest level most of his career?
See, and I saw that like little sub argument developed on our Facebook page was like, oh, wasted career.
It stinks. It's one of those things for all fans where it just feels like that's the qualifier you add to it.
And I understood that they meant wasted career in terms of you didn't get the Super Bowl. But some people Correct. Are like, how's a wasted career? He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's amazing. He'll be a Hall of Famer, but he would love to have that trophy in his hand.
Okay, important question. Have we shown respect and love for Zach Martin?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, and there's no reason to show anything other than that.
Good.
Yes.
Good. All right. Let's talk about why the Cowboys are really bad at salary cap. Because here's the flip side of Zach Martin. And I want to make this very clear.
The 806. Go ahead, Kevin. This has all been nice and fuzzy, but S on us now.
No. Kind of. All right. That's kind of a fair point. But I want to point out this is not Zach Martin's fault. This is the Cowboys' fault for the way that they do business. So, Zach Martin is retired. Do you know how much he counts on next year's salary cap?
9 million.
Approximately between 9 and 10 million. I've seen some differentiation. Okay. And so, yeah. That's
I really guessed that.
Yeah, that's not too bad, right? Do you want to know how much he counts on our 2026 salary cap?
22 million.
17 more million dollars. Or you could go ahead and take the entire $27 million hit this season. Now, do I think there's any chance the Dallas Cowboys are going to do that? No. No, I don't. But I want you to consider this for a second. I'm telling you, there is a very likely scenario in which Zach Martin just retired today, yesterday, February 20th, 2025, and he will count $17 million against the 2026 Dallas Cowboys salary cap.
Mm.
What the hell is that?
Well, I mean, Kevin, have you seen the five teams with the most that are going to be hit the hardest this offseason by free agency?
Surely we're in the mix.
Well, I want you to name a similarity between four of the five teams. Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them. Kansas City.
These are all good teams.
Dallas is number three.
Oh,
well. Number two, Cincinnati. And number one, Philadelphia. Three of the five were all playoff teams.
Three of the five have unbelievable quarterbacks that look like they're ready to go for a while.
Yeah, but they all have, and with the Cowboys, they have a different situation, obviously. So, yeah, the free agency is going to hurt them again, and this is why, because the way their salaries are structured.
Yeah, and I don't know. It doesn't stop with this. You can throw DeMarcus Lawrence in the mix and everything like that. And so I am really glad that Zach Martin got to finish up and go out more or less on his own terms. I'm sure he wished he would have had a better season and not gotten injured and all of that. I'm very happy for him, and he has been one of the greatest Cowboys we've ever seen. But the way that the Cowboys do business really leaves this team in a bind. So think about it. The salary cap just went up an unbelievable amount. It's probably going to go up about $24 million.
This is a huge number,
A huge number. That doesn't even cover what the Dallas Cowboys still owe salary cap-wise on Zach Martin, who will not be playing for the Dallas Cowboys. And that right there is the inherent flaw in which they continue to do business. I know all kinds of teams use the void years, and I'm fine with that, as long as that player might be back.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it with DeMarcus Lawrence. We did it with Zach Martin. We've got it happening right now with Dak Prescott. None of those players are probably going, well, we know Zach Martin isn't, are probably going to be back after their contract is over. And yet, the money will keep hitting.
It seems like, Kevin, the Cowboys are where Mike ex-Cowboy is. Seems stupid to pay someone who voluntarily leaves. If a player retires, it should nullify their contract. And like those things should not count dead money and all that. And I agree with them, but it seems like the Cowboys, the way their philosophy is, they're like, look, at some point the league's going to finally tell us that this is okay and we can just get rid of these numbers.
So here's the issue. I hear what that person is saying. Their contract is done. Zach Martin's contract is done. The magic of these stupid void years is you just make believe extra years. Like, you ever see like a game show when they're like, hey, you could win $1 million. And then they're like, $1 million will be paid out over 20 years in an annuity. And you're like, oh, crap. So you really only get paid $50,000 a year if you don't take the lump sum and all of that. The cats with the Cowboys do. They're like, hey, we're going to give you this 3-year, $50 million contract. But we're going to make it a 6-year, $50 million contract so we can spread out the signing bonus over 3 extra years and not have to pay all the money in that 3 years, which is fine. It's not Zach Martin's fault that he's retired. It's the Cowboys for putting extra void years and not paying the bill when they knew he'd still be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Stop setting up things that, like, I mean, maybe this is a bad way to look at it because you're like, well, I'll be dead. What do I care? But it's like people are like, oh, I'm going to take out a loan. I'm going to pay over the next 5 years. I'll probably be dead in a year.
Will my kids have to pay that?
Yeah, that's what the way the Cowboys do it. And now the loan goes to your kids. Now, I'm not saying in real life that's necessarily how it would go.
Just take out a bunch of loans and just be like, ha ha, died, sucker.
But like the Cowboys' number one enemy is the Cowboys from like 4 years ago. So like you think about it, Next year, the biggest enemy to the 2025 Cowboys is decisions that they made like in 2022 and 2023. And guess what? In 2026, it'll be the same thing. In 27, it'll be the same thing.
But in 28, things are going to change around here.
I hope so.
Maybe.
Actually, I do have a thought about that. But we have to go right now. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is also a shout-out Friday, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation, coming up next, feel like most people's answers are going to be yes, but did the America-Canada hockey border war live up to the hype? Next on The Fan.
Centering pass, McDavid.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk about Four Nations. Did you watch? Were you impressed or, you know, maybe just sad about the end? It is also a shout-out Friday. I like this from the 469. Shout-out to you guys. It'll be great getting classic KNC Masterpiece. Any chance of any more older segments coming back, like Versus or the Wheel of Misfortune or Masterpiece Theater? We did Moral Compass yesterday, so I think the odds of at least two of those three coming back are very high.
Kevin also did, I don't know if you just read this one, but Corey, can I get a shout out? I'm going to get a new Elite controller today when I get off to get back on the COD grind.
Nice.
I don't know about, I feel about
that. It stands for Call of Duty.
Yes, that is what it means. And as the arbiter of all shout outs, I felt like it was necessary that I reveal that I'm back for it.
So absolutely.
Y'all didn't let any shout outs get out this week, right?
No.
Alec?
Not on my end.
All right.
Maybe.
I'm going to have to go back and track them. Just see.
Yeah, listen to all, what would that be, like 16 hours that you missed in total airtime, please?
I can do that. I can do that.
Okay.
I probably should have been doing it this week, though.
No, yeah. I don't think any I don't think any shout-outs got through. All right. I just want everyone to calm down before I tell you this, all right? Alec, are you calm?
No!
Okay. Corey, are you calm?
I actually am calm because I feel good about the future.
Okay. Evan Grant, just calm down, okay?
The future. Hold on,
Evan Grant and Kennedy.
I felt good about the future of hockey, Kevin.
Yeah, I thought this was hockey. What are you doing?
This is a hockey segment.
We're going to get to hockey in just one second. Evan Grant and Kennedy Landry have reported that per Bruce Bochy, Wyatt Langford, calm down, has a mild strain of his left oblique. He will be down from baseball activities for 5 to 7 days.
That's the most important oblique.
It really is.
Out of all the obliques.
Is it?
Yeah, and especially if you're a right-handed hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So being a right-handed hitter, your left oblique is the one that pulls everything around. It's part of your torque.
It's how you swing.
This is bad.
Boach said this should have no impact on opening day, 5 to 7 days.
But what about his spring training? He's supposed to be working on his swing and his hit. So how is he supposed to get that work? I know and understand it's not going to affect opening day. But it's going to all the spring training at bats. He's got to get those cuts in.
Hey, but he's already ready. He said a couple days ago, last year, he was pressing to make the team. This year, he's just going to make sure it's his year.
All right.
So,
okay.
I told you not to freak out.
Well, it says 5 to 7 days, right? Is that what you said? 5 to 7 days?
5 to 7 days.
So, yeah. See, I thought, man, you know, I was so busy panicking once I heard oblique.
I said, don't panic.
That I felt it was, I was terrified. But that sounds like it's doable. I think you're going to be okay. By the time that means he has more time to hang out with us. Next week, whenever we head out there.
I'm really sure that's what he's looking
for. Boach is going to be like, yeah, go on up there and hang out with the KNC
Masters. Hey, guys.
They're good fellas.
Can't really do any baseball stuff. Can I hang out with you? Although there is precedent for that. Last year, John Gray definitely wanted to join our show and leave baseball behind.
Multiple times. He loves our show.
All right. Since you need something to cheer us up, give me cut number 2, and then we can pretend that this game ended happily.
And back on it, Taves. Now a wraparound by
All right, is it safe to assume that last night lived up to the hype? I mean, look, putting aside like, hey, I'm disappointed the United States lost, it feels like this game had an immense amount of hype on it, and it delivered.
And it had an immense amount of hype because of what they did in the first time they played.
For sure.
Like, that game was so amazing. I know we were texting back and forth during that game. That game was so amazing that it set up for, are we going to get 2.0 of that?
Yeah.
And you got the same physicality. You got the same speed of the game. You got those things without as much of the chippiness to start, obviously. But there was still chippiness throughout the game that was really great part of it. I thought, Kevin, while I was watching it, I think somewhere in the third period, I was watching these guys fly around on the ice, and I was like, this is the highest level hockey I think I've ever seen.
Yep.
That, like, this is the best. They're flying, for one. Once one offense makes a move this way, they're turning back around and going the other way as fast as they can because that's how Canada plays.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And all of a sudden, and you're like, and if in most cases on NHL nights, you're like, oh, that team just got destroyed. Well, because they're so good, they're able to catch up. Like, that was the great part of it, was it was a very delicate window that they were able to make goals happen here. And it was awesome to watch.
And I want to shout out, Alec, and then I want to get your thoughts about the hype level and how you took this game in and everything. But I want to shout out some of the specific individual defending moments, because you had Slavin, who stopped what looks like it would have been a wide open net goal. Eichel.
Which one? The one with where he with like his skate or stick? No, did
that
it?
Was so
or
that
the
was
one where he laid on the ground and had one of the coolest saves I've seen.
That was the stick. Eichel right after that had no stick and he stopped it with the skate, which I thought was incredible. Man, the last 12 to 18 months have really been like the match of the hype behind Jack Eichel, because you know, for a while, like, obviously moved teams and everything, but it was a struggle, man. You have seen him really announce himself. And then, as much as I hate to say this, overtime was the best that Team USA had played all night. And you had Binnington in the span of, it was like 40 seconds. He had the overtime stop on Matthews. And then Tkachuk a minute later. And then Matthews again on the ensuing faceoff. Those were three, like, Corey, you were talking about the delicate intricacies of setting up these scoring chances. There are three scoring chances back to back to back. And I think Jordan Binnington, he gets crapped on, and they're already looking for a way to replace him for the Olympics next year. But that trio of stops right there, this game was so close to being over the other way.
It was Slavin about 8 minutes left in the third period that laid down on the ice and stopped one that looked like it was a wide open slap shot.
Unbelievable.
And that was the moment that I thought to myself, I was like, oh, the U.S. is going to win. He just put his body on the line for it. And this is because, honestly, how many times do you hear coaches in the playoffs saying, we got to drop down on pucks. We got to get in front of them. We got to, and they're not doing it. And you, like, we applaud the stars whenever we see three or four different dudes doing that. To see one guy in a not professional game, in a game that is an international game, do that, that was special to me. And I was like, America's winning this one. Unfortunately, overtime happened, and the best player on the ice got the goal, because
that's tough to argue
everyone
with.
Like, I saw a video while I was laying in bed, Kevin. I was watching a video, and all the players were asked who they would pick to be on their team, and they were like, all of them were saying McDavid. Everybody had somebody different, but like, I think Jake Ottinger said Esa Lindell. He was like, he's the best defender out there. But they all said, I think we're being dumb by not saying, if we don't say McDavid. And yeah, that's just what he does.
Alec, I've seen you shaking your head a lot positively in this segment. Safe to assume that this game had what you wanted, what hockey needed is what I want to say. Because I want to get to you specifically, but like, hockey needed this to be a big time event too, because of how many new fans might have been converted in the last like 8 to 10 days. Is so many people. It's kind of the funny thing where, like, you find experts automatically, and there's all these people that are, you know, now like, oh, well, this needs to happen.
It had the same effect.
You didn't even know what Four Nations was.
It was the same effect as the World Baseball Classic a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I liked watching Twitter throughout the night, just seeing how many people are like, don't have any clue what is happening right now, but I'm so into this, you know, and I'm hoping there's a residual effect of some people, maybe they do see Connor McDavid with the game winner, and they're like, I want to watch that guy more. I've heard everybody on the national telecast saying, this guy, he's legit. He's the best player in hockey right now. I need to watch this guy. And I like how that was like the final question of his post-game interview was, you know, what's your message to maybe the people who aren't fans of hockey that are watching right now? And he was like, we have a beautiful game, man.
Yeah.
Like, we really do, and I hope you guys were entertained because this is some of the best hockey that I've been a part of. So, you know, I'm hoping that some people realize that the best player on the planet is saying that. It's probably got some truth to it.
Was it McKinnon who said, man, I really suck tonight?
Yes. And,
okay.
That was so good, too.
That was. He was like, I was not good tonight. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, well, your team won. That's good, right? And he's like, yeah, but not because of me.
And it's one of the last gladiator sports, too, you know, that we talk about whenever you're about real, you know, battles like this. Jonathan Cox texted in and said, Canada did have the best two players in the league with McDavid and McKinnon. Kevin, I think that if we don't include Sidney Crosby in the conversation of, like, not just one of the best players in the league, but one of the best players to touch ice. Like, that dude, it seems like every team he's on, you stand a chance of being in important games, no matter if it's international or, you know, just a friendly. If you're on his team, you're going to be in that mix.
I mean, think about at a time when, like, best on best international hockey, you haven't had the opportunity to really see it a lot. Sid the Kid can roll in there. Well, I guess not so much the kid anymore. He can roll in there and say, yeah, I was captain for the team that won it all in the Four Nations tournament that really seems to have like jump started again some interest in hockey. And I was also the captain on the Olympic team in, was it 2010, I believe, and scored the golden goal in overtime to give us the gold medal. Oh, not to mention 3-time Stanley Cup champion and 2-time playoff MVP, just if you wanted to add that in there. He's an incredible player who he just seems to be around winning.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And he knows what it's about. And he might not be the one that's scoring all the goals, but he'll facilitate. Go look at how many times he was setting up goals throughout this run. Kevin, the U.S. has won the last two World Major Junior Championships.
Hell yeah.
And Canada didn't make the finals last year. So the future with like Quinn Hughes, Cole Caulfield, Lane Hudson, even Jason Robertson wasn't on this team. That, like, just think about who wasn't on this team that still has a future on it.
Quinn Hughes is a great example because Quinn Hughes is the guy who they were going to bring up to the team and they found out through, like, I don't know, minutia of the rules and stuff like that, that they couldn't actually put him on the team.
Oh, they couldn't Mark Stone cheat
it? Yes, they could not circumvent the calf in that way with Quinn Hughes. So he was not going to be able to jump on immediately. But that's a kid who's a stud. Eric Chiafalo, I know he did a whole segment on it yesterday and was talking about it. And they mention it on the broadcast. So many of these players have played together for the United States for a really long time. You know how in basketball we talk about how, like, the only reason the United States would lose in some of these competitions is that all these other teams have played together so long. It's weird because that's kind of like Canada, where, like, we're one of the scrappy underdog teams that has a better shot because we've played together for so long. Like, obviously, the Kachucks come to mind. They've played together their entire life.
Got a ton of respect for the Kachucks, dude, after this run.
I'm telling you.
And Austin Matthews.
I don't think any three American players have upped their standing in the world more than the Kachucks and Austin Matthews right there. And, like, I'm kind of curious. I know where you won't find this out today. Is there going to be any lingering positive or negative effect for any of these people? Specifically, Hellebuck looked like someone had just shot his dog after he gave up that goal. And, like, that team has been on a freaking roll. I'm kind of curious if that will have any carryover into the actual rest of the season.
You know, we've talked to players that have been at the World Series, been in, you know, big-time playoff games, and finding that rush.
Yeah.
In the regular season is always hard, especially after you just did that. So I think these guys love their sport and they understand it so much. I don't think there will be, but you got a good question there.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, he is one of the executive producers and the host of Foul Territory. It is Scott Braun next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now we'll bring to you, and we have talked about the show time and time again, all the great content and especially Rangers info that they have brought us. Executive producer, host of Foul Territory, it is Scott Braun. Good morning, sir.
Corey and Kevin, good morning. What's going on? Brighter times ahead for the Rangers this year than last year. Let's get the 2023 vibes going again, right?
Okay, I'm with you, but I need to set the tone for this interview appropriately with a fan question. What do you think about this question? Please ask Scott why he decided to get the Zoomer perm. Are you familiar with that description of a hairstyle?
I'm not familiar with the name itself, but I just have naturally curly hair.
Okay.
And actually, there's a deep story to this that I won't go too deep into right now, but taking care of a sick family member, I'm in a bubble scenario. I can't get a haircut. So it's growing right now.
Okay.
Would you like
for a good cause? Let's put it that way.
Would you like me to tell that person they should feel bad about their question?
No, because either way, I mean, I've grown it out before and had fun with it. So it's getting a little wild right now. But either way, I mean, you could say, why are you so worried about it? That would probably be a good way to put it. Okay, so real quick context. Yesterday, I don't always do this, but I went back at a troll who was like, hey, you need to cut your hair. I'm like, why do you care? It's not like out of control. I don't look like, I don't even know who the comp would be here, but it's a controlled curliness that's getting a little bit long on the top, but that is obviously up to anyone's opinion. Girlfriend likes it, so I'll take it there. But then I decided to actually add on, and I'll ask you guys this question. There have been quite a few fans, and it's good to have many people watching your show, that have sent us in comments about AJ Pierzynski and Eric Kratz, who are two regulars on Foul Territory.
Mm-hmm.
And most don't care, and many respond to these troll comments, but they'll say, why are grown men wearing the hat backwards? And, I mean, there are many answers back to that. They're catchers.
Yep.
Do you hate Griffey, too?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you care?
Very good. Yeah.
Well,
I'm wearing my hat backwards right now.
Yeah. I'll tell you this.
What's the problem? Why is it bothering, you know, someone in their mom's basement so much?
The only time it ever bothers me is I am inherently jealous of all people with hair. As somebody who has not had any hair for quite some time, I respect and admire your ability to grow hair.
I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. There you go.
And that being said,
so maybe I'll keep growing it just for you and see how crazy it can get.
I appreciate it.
Do you continue, like, now that the Yankees have lifted the clean shaven thing, do you continue to grow out the well groomed beard?
Yes. I hated that policy with a passion. Got into many debates with people about it, including the two regulars on our show. Obviously, we'll talk about it later on our show, too. We're live at 1 Eastern on YouTube for anyone who wants to catch down there. But it was ridiculous at this point. And some people are like, no, rules are good. I'm like, not those rules. We're in America. Come on. A baseball player can't have a beard? To me, it was very un-American, and it was a loser policy by the Yankees, especially in modern times here. So I'm glad they dropped it.
I agree with you. I think it'd have been different if, like, they would have instituted the policy and won 5 straight World Series, and I'd have been like, well, maybe that's what's getting the job done, but that wasn't the case whatsoever.
Correct. And many players were complaining about it behind the scenes for a long time now. So it's not like I was coming without any context. Because people are like, no one's complaining about it. I'm like, do you think a current Yankees player is going to rip the owner and say, I can't believe we have this policy? There were plenty of times behind the scenes where it was close and they're going, hey, it's a little bit of a shadow. It was ridiculous. What if you grow hair really fast and you had a night game, then you're there the next morning? I know it doesn't take that long to shave, but it's like, really, who are we trying to please here? You know? And they still said, like, well-groomed. Okay, fine. But the way they had it for a while now was so strange for today's world, and I just completely disagreed with it. And a lot of players felt kind of naked playing with it. Like, I don't know. It's just strange. Like, what was next? We're going to ask the guys to shave their heads too. Devin Williams felt weird just now joining the team. And many players that leave the Yankees are always like, oh my gosh, I feel so much better now. Like, I can be a grizzly man again.
Now, we're talking with the host of Foul Territory. We have talked about y'all's show a ton in the offseason. You guys have been providing phenomenal content. And the way you started off was, let's get the Rangers back to 2023. There is this sense of optimism. Do you share that same sense of optimism around the Rangers, or do you think it's misplaced kind of hometown optimism?
No, I share the optimism. Also, keep in mind, when they won the World Series 2 years ago, it's not like it was a 100-win team.
Right.
So can they get to a similar place as 2023 in the regular season, and can they be a successful postseason team? The answer in both cases is absolutely yes. it certainly does not hurt when the AL West is not at its strongest right now. The Astros are at least the same, if not a step worse, when you lose Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. They did get reinforcements, but you can make a case that they are a drop worse. The Mariners do nothing because their ownership is a disaster right now and doesn't let them spend a dime. A disaster. They have a great starting rotation, but their offense is not great. Did they get better this past offseason? No. The A's actually got better. So when you just start to go down the line with the AL West, obviously the Angels got a little bit better, but I wouldn't be intimidated by them. The Rangers should stack up at least just as well as anyone else. And from an offensive standpoint, guys, I do think they have the best lineup in the AL West. It was, what, third in runs per game 2 years ago, more middle of the pack last year. They were struggling with high fastballs. What do? You go get guys that absolutely feast on those pitches, Jock Peterson and Jake Berger. Of course, there are plenty of injuries with Young, all these things that you guys have talked about. So I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Is every single thing going to work out that was a problem last year? Of course not. You know, Edin Carter, another step for Wyatt Langford, whatever, right? We're talking about a lot of things that could go well, and I think at least some of them will, and they'll be better than last year. So I'll place their offense more in a top 10 range. That alone puts them at another level. We'll see what they get from DeGrom. I do like Rocker. Same thing. Can he stay on the mound? I just think there's enough depth there to get them through the regular season to be a playoff team. If they've got the right guys healthy in October, they can be dangerous. Some of those guys have done it already. And Corey Seager, to me, guys, is still top five at worst in terms of at-bats to save my life.
Yes. I love that.
Man.
Yes.
I'd watch the hell out of that game. So, Jacob DeGrom, what do you think? Obviously, we've talked a lot about him. What would constitute a healthy season for him? Like, I get it. Hey, you started 33 games. That'd be great. But realistically, is it like 25 starts? What constitutes a pretty much healthy season for him?
I'll do it this way. A successful season for me is getting him to the postseason. So I'll put the number around 20-ish.
Okay.
If you told me, hey, Scott, you get 20 Jacob DeGrom starts and he's healthy for October and you made it, I'm like, whoa, massive win. Because that's going to be the problem is, I mean, he'll start off the season, but you're just walking on eggshells, especially if he looks the way he usually does, right? I mean, from what I recall, when he came back at the end of last year, I was like, yep, still got it.
Yep.
So that's the whole game that you're going to play. Extra rest, really baby him, almost like the teams do nowadays with rookies, right? That's how I'm going to do it with him because it's all a game to get him there. You got to make the playoffs. I get that, but I'm not looking for 30 starts from him. Yeah, I would say 25 max in my mind. The Dodgers did a really nice job for years with Clayton Kershaw. I know his body's breaking down now and he's coming back from another surgery, but a lot of times they looked at Clayton and they were like, yeah, if we get in the 20s, we're good, and let's try and get him to the playoffs. So I think a similar strategy here for the Rangers because they should have enough depth around him to be able to skip him, maybe give him a longer break at the All-Star break, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what we talk about a lot is get to the playoffs. And if you got DeGrom and Eovaldi, you're feeling like the envy of everybody else around there.
Correct. Yes, that puts them in a position where they could be the most dangerous team in the American League. National League's a different story, but
sure.
And I've gotten some hate for this in the past 24 hours because we did some power rankings. Mm. But I still think this year the National League is much stronger than the American League. I don't think it's as separated as it was last year, but last year I legitimately think there were at least five teams that would have whooped the Yankees in the World Series.
How concerned, because I'll tip my hand on this question, my answer is very concerned, should folks be that the Rangers do not have a real closer?
That's the weak spot with the team right now. There's a lot of turnover, and the guys that were getting the work late last year not back. So I'm not as concerned about not having a bona fide closer right from the jump, but what's the circle of trust? That's more the question right now. And how large is it? Because it needs to be large because law of averages, one of those guys will get hurt. One of those guys will underperform. So that's very clearly the weak spot on this team right now. It might be okay, but I don't love it. I mean, I do love Robert Garcia. I think that was a great move there because they were able to move on from Lowe, right?
Yep.
Due to a little bit of a surplus there and for them to acquire Berger, all good. Robert Garcia is really good. I mean, again, could he completely flame out? You know, things can happen. Could he get hurt? But that puts yourself in a position where this is a guy who has good stuff. He gets to switch over to a team that I think will do a better job with a reliever like this and unlocking the arsenal. So that's the move in particular that I look at that I like, where I could see him running away with things. And who am I missing? To me, that might be the best stuff guy in the bullpen right now.
I could see that unless you really push Teodo, and then I think that he could be in the mix for that.
Okay. But yeah, that's the weak spot, guys. That's the problem. If here's the thing. If you guys are pissed off a few months into the season, I think it's going to be because the bullpen has fallen apart and is one of the worst in baseball. It doesn't have the upside to be a top 10 bullpen in my mind, and it does have the downside to be a real problem, which was kind of the case a couple of years ago.
Yes.
But there was more talent in the bullpen. That's the thing. I know it was scary, but there was still was better stuff in that bullpen. So, hey, here's the good part. That's the easiest thing to fix at the trade deadline. There's always, 10 relievers available, and Chris Young just might have to get aggressive at that point.
Will you tell our audience not to panic that Bruce Bochy just said that Wyatt Langford is out 5 to 7 days with an oblique strain? People are ready to panic.
No, don't panic. Obliques can be annoying, but you're so early on in spring training that teams know how to deal with these, and they just make sure that they give them extra time. It's something that often in the past would lead to no time off. And nowadays they're like, you feel even the slightest twinge?
Yeah.
Okay, you're taking a week off. It's just not necessary. Because the biggest problem with a lot of these types of injuries is players not resting for a few days, because just like anyone else that's competitive and gets hurt, you want to be right back on the field 5 seconds later. I mean, I lift weights and I've pulled my back, and then I'm like, oh, man, I should take a few days off. And then the next day you're still back in there. So you can only imagine what someone who actually really cares and works for is thinking about. So, and he's what, 23? So,
yeah.
No, he's fine. Do not worry.
All right, Scott, thank you very much for the time. Can you remind everybody, as if they don't already know, where they can catch you?
Yes, absolutely. We're on 17 different regional TV networks, but easiest way to catch us is live every day, 1 to 3 Eastern on YouTube. It'll change a little during spring training. We're doing our camp tour in Arizona and Florida, so most of those shows will start at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Look us up podcast-wise. We have 15 shows part of our podcast network, most downloaded baseball podcast network in the game. Same with, most viewed baseball show on YouTube, the whole deal. So it's called Foul Territory. Got about 10 players involved that host the show, along with Ken Rosenthal and some other special guests that join us regularly. And then we've had over, I believe it's now 600 player guest appearances in the first 2 years of our existence. I left Major League Baseball to launch this. I freaking love it. So I appreciate the plug, guys.
Yeah, we freaking love you. Thank you very much, good sir. We'd love to talk with you again down the road.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Anytime, call me.
There you go. Host Foul Territory, executive producer Scott Braun, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's a good baseball talker right there.
And he said, don't worry about Wyatt, okay? So calm down, Corey.
That's only one person. I guess two. You and him have both told me not to stress out.
It's your source and your confirmation source.
But me and Alec right now.
Oh, my God. Coming up next, 3 Cowboys players to keep and 3 to let go. Next on The Fan.